Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the winter storm of free speech because, it's snowing, and it's snowing free speech. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. All right, so yesterday, I think my show was a little bit clunky. Sorry about that. We'll see what happens with today's Boomer Vision. I actually had the following conversation with Dr. Duke. You'll hear that it starts out with me saying my show wasn't so good. I usually think my shows are pretty good. But at any rate, so take a listen to that, and I'll be right back.
It was well thought out. I was repeating the stuff that I'm always saying.
Well, me too. I'll repeat it all too, but I tell you, I hit some really good points. You know, I really just totally debunked. I really got pissed off at this Feinstein. I was glad that
By the way, I did press the record button while you were answering your phone.
Okay.
Just in case.
I really gave this Feinstein guy, he was interviewed on one of these programs, and he was talking about how terrible and brutal South Africa was. But then he admitted that Israel was, you know, 1,000 times more brutal, a whole new level of brutality, right?
Who is Feinstein?
He was nobody. He was a ANC leader, right?
Oh, okay.
He was a terrorist, honest to God. ANC was definitely a terrorist organization. I mean, no arguing about it. He's in the communist terrorist tradition of Joe Slovo and all of these people. And I played my video. I guess you saw my video on white genocide in South Africa before. You ever seen that video?
Probably not.
Well, that's one you can hear it on. This is about 10 minutes, but I think you'll think it's a really great video. So I just point out what apartheid was, and really just show exactly how hypocritical all these Jews are, right? And I go into the genocides that the Jews have been committing historically. I mean, I'm really talking about the last 125 years, right? In these movements that they've had, of the wars they've been leading. And I tell you what, you're going to be driving. I've got to do some things too. I got to call Don Black too. I'll let you know. I talked to him about
it. Tell him I say hi. Gosh.
Okay, I will. I would love for you to listen to my show. How long till you get there, till you get to your destination?
Oh, I'm going for hours.
Okay, why don't you watch, if you would take 45 minutes or whatever, 50 minutes to listen to my show. And I'll call you back in a little while. I'll talk to Don and give him his best to you, I'm sure. But I'd like to get your impression of the show and your thoughts about a lot of these things. Because I pointed out that apartheid, I said, and this is what's another good example of, I think, some prescient things we said. Now, do you realize when they support the two-state solution, you realize that the world Jews and the world governments of the world are supporting apartheid? Because apartheid is a multi-state or two-state solution, right?
Yeah.
It's a state for people based on their ethnicity. But it's wholly different than Jews because they're taking their state by total oppression and murder and assault and genocide, right?
But obviously, the whites in South Africa were willing to compromise, and in fact, they compromised everything away.
Yeah, they gave away their lives. And by the way, I brought up the figures, and these figures are pretty. I've got a section of. I think you're going to make sure you listen to the part where I play the tape for my show, because I show the incredible hypocrisy about all these things, right? And it's not really the Palestinians that are saying the genocidal thing. It really isn't. They keep saying how they're trying to kill all the Jews. They don't really say that. They really don't. And the Iranians don't either. They say destroy the Jewish state, right? Just like people try to say
the regime occupying Al-Quds.
Exactly. But the Jews do, right? Because that's the way Jews are. I mean, genocide is in, it's with their mother's milk, man. I mean, just, and I pointed out that this, what's just been going on here, just, this has been going on for 3,000 years. This is the ultimate racism on planet Earth. And it's being completely ignored in many ways because of the fact that they control the media. The genociders and the haters and the most ultimate racists that look at the rest of humanity like not even humans, right? I mean, they're everything they say the Nazis weren't. The Nazis never said that the other races of man, even the Jews, they never said they weren't humans. All the Germans ever said about Jews was they weren't Germans. That's what Hitler said. When he went to, it was in Vienna, a very classical thing, it's in Mein Kampf. He says, I'm in Vienna, and I'm dealing with these Jews, and they're wearing these weird stuff, and they're doing weird things, and I said, is this a Jew? Is this a German? That was a legitimate question, right? But Jews say, is this a Jew or a Gentile? Is this a woman? I can't talk. Is this a human? And they have a whole section in the Jewish Encyclopedia and the Talmud, of course, how only Jews are men. That was back in the old days when the patriarchal thing wasn't a good thing. You didn't call mankind mankind. You didn't talk about men, right, as mankind. Today, of course, you can't say that. But only Jews are men, meaning only Jews are people. Only Jews are what we call mankind, or, people. And I didn't go into completely into that, but we did talk about, I did talk a lot, pretending the audience was listening, and kind of, I was trying to answer the questions that people would have of me, in a sense, because the same kind of questions I was asking as a young man. That's what I do in my awakening, as you know. It's that complete, just posing these questions to people. I said, if it's okay to condemn white racism and white extremism or whatever, white supremacy, is it okay to condemn Jewish supremacy? Seems like it should be, right?
Okay, I don't even remember what we were talking about. I do remember that it got cut off at about 7 minutes because I got a phone call from one of our mutual friends, and it breaks into the Skype and overwhelms it. So, okay. Anyway, I wound up last night, this is what I'm going to start off with. I wound up last night listening to a debate between, a debate on Zionism between, on the one hand, Nick Fuentes and Vincent James, who I both think are serious people, and I was expecting them to do very well. And on the other hand, Gavin McGinnis, who some of you might be familiar with, he's a pretty high profile internet guy. He was the founder of the Proud Boys, or one of the founders. I think he made a lot of money with Ezra Levant or whatever, is he a Jewish Canadian? He was involved with Rebel Media, which isn't any good. And so if none of you have ever heard of it, then that's because it's not any good. It's like supposedly conservative or right wing, but it's pro-Zionist, because he was taking the pro-Zionist side. And then On the other hand, you had, and then also the taking the pro-Zionist side with some guy I'd never actually heard of. I was going to say Sean King, but Sean King is a fake black guy. His last name was King, Adam King. And Adam King, who is apparently has a spot on Alex Jones's network. Adam King, who is he was a Jewish settler in Gaza 20 years ago. He seems to be from America, but like he's ultra-Zionist. And, you know, I was expecting with everything, what's going on, that this would be pretty easy. Vincent James, who's a real sharp guy, he barely spoke at all. And Nick didn't even speak that much. They just let the other two guys just have the floor. The moderator, I guess the moderator could have done a better job with time management or anything, but it's not as if Vincent James was trying to jump in. He was pretty quiet until he was called on, and he just wasn't being called on. And so he didn't say much. And so much of what these Adam King and Gavin McGinnis was saying, which was BS, much of it was just complete BS, and it was just going completely unchallenged. Adam King declared that Israel has won the war with Gaza, won the war. And of course, what was Netanyahu's stated objectives? It was to rout out Hamas. Well, Hamas is hardly routed out. They're still there amongst the rubble. So, if they have won the war and accomplished their goals, well, their goal, then that means their goal wasn't to rout out Hamas. It was to destroy the infrastructure of Gaza and make it uninhabitable. If that's your victory, but Hamas is still there. Hamas is, to the extent there are Israeli troops in, we're not getting numbers of how many Israeli troops are being killed. And I'm not going to say I have a guess. I don't know. But I do, they are getting, it's not safe for them in Gaza, that's for sure. And Adam King was also taking the position that Israel has conquered Gaza, and Gaza is now Jewish. Thank God, glory be to God, Gaza is Jewish. Well, there's still 2.2 million people, what's the guy's name? Gavin McGinnis said, well, look, they only have killed 1.5% of the people in Gaza, and compared to World War II numbers, that's not that much. 1.5%. They've only killed 1.5%. Well, that still leaves, 2.17 million Gazans there. It's not Jewish. They're still there amidst rubble, and amidst international condemnation. Well, I'll go on to that. There was so much, and. You know, I like Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes, when he's talking to his own audience, when he's on his own show, when he's talking to his own people, he emphasizes religion, and he de-emphasizes empathy with the Palestinians. He'll say, well, there's a moral argument to be made here, but basically he doesn't care. What he does care about is the United States getting dragged into a regional war or World War III. And also, he goes on and just talks about, the problem with Jews is they don't believe in the one real God and the one true religion and this type of thing. And, if he's talking to his own people and he is trying to get his own people, his own young followers, away from pornography, away from drugs, and that's that might be a perfectly good approach. But if you're in a debate on Zionism, this becomes a debate on the Bible. It wasn't a productive debate. So among the things that went unchallenged, the moderator, who actually had a pretty anti-Zionist position and probably made the best points of the night, the moderator asked specifically about genocide. Is this genocide? And the position that Gavin McGinnis took repeatedly was, look, if you go and punch Mike Tyson in the nose and all that happens is you lose 30,000 people, that's a pretty good deal for you, right? That the Gazans deserved everything that they got and more. He said, 30,000 dead Gazans, good. I'm glad they died. F them. That was Gavin McGinnis's position. Okay, so that's this guy who just says, oh, the problem is white people are white people's own fault. Well, okay, maybe left-wing Jews. You know, he started the show saying there's four types of Jews. There's Hasidic, because he grew up in Brooklyn. He actually grew up in this neighborhood where they have the Chabad Lubavitch place that's got the tunnels. Apparently that's where he's from. I thought he was from Canada. But I've never really listened to him. And he's somebody who on his own show once, he stuck a cucumber into his rectum. Don't ask me why. But he's very much of an Islamophobe. He's very hostile to Islam, probably because it's not cucumber shaped. I'm not really sure why. But he said there's four kinds of Jews. There are the Hasidic Jews, and they're just off in their own world, and they don't really interact with anybody, so they don't matter. And then there are non-Hasidic Orthodox Jews, and they're good guys because they oppose gun control and this and that. They're good guys. And then there are these the third group was, I guess, secular Jews who are still right wing and they're on the right side of all the issues and they can be our friends. And then there's the last group, which are self-hating liberal Jews who aren't really Jews. They're just whites. And they to the extent that problems that whites have problems, well, maybe 30% of the problems are caused by these left-wing Marxist communist Jews who are really just white elites. So they're really just white. So you can't blame anything on the Jews. And he set up these four categories, and then everybody else just ran with the four categories as if that's like a meaningful description of the Jews. You know, these people weren't being challenged. The question, if you're asked a question about whether what's going on in Gaza is a genocide, and you say, yeah, I'm glad they're dead, F them, well, that's genocide, right? If the other guy, the Adam King guy, is saying, Gaza is now rubble and it's now Jewish, it's Jewish, thank God. Well, that would be genocide. And of course, the whole thing.
You've got the magic touch. It makes me glow so much. Alarm. You may
Shahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Is now rubble, and it's now Jewish. It's Jewish, thank God. Well, that would be genocide. And of course, and so the whole thing, okay, now just as I was getting sick of listening to it, the question became, the moderator asked the Adam King, the Jewish guy, if he could eliminate one religion. I don't know if he said one religion from America. I think he just said one religion. If you could eliminate one of the following two religions, which would it be? Islam or Catholicism? He asked it like that. And Adam King said Catholicism, and he started explaining why he would eliminate Catholicism as opposed to Islam. That's just when I stopped listening, but then I have since found out that at that point, Gavin McGinnis, who had been slavishly taking the Jewish side the whole time, the pro-Zionist side, siding, allying himself to this Adam King guy, got mad and stormed off the show because Gavin McGinnis sees himself as a Catholic and an Islamophobe Catholic at that, and here was his debating partner claiming or stating clearly that he would rather Catholicism be eliminated than Islam. So McGinnis then tweeted out that Nick Fuentes won the debate. Well, okay. So, you know, they made it, instead of being a debate about Zionism, instead of being a debate about genocide, and they even talked about the tunnels in underneath the Chabad Center, and the thing is, they let this guy, Adam King, they let him talk pretty much 50% of the time, and then maybe Nick Fuentes and Gavin McGinnis talked about 20%. Well, there was a moderator, too. There was a moderator. So about 20% each, and then Vincent James, who would probably have the most reasonable positions out of them all, the most serious and reasonable positions, maybe 10%, and maybe less, because the moderator talked more than Vincent James. You hardly heard Vincent James' voice, and when he was talking, he was asking questions to, and not really even debate style questions, not even like questions that are pinning him down in bad positions, but just asking kind of open-ended questions to Adam King. So, you know, to the extent it was a debate on like a very, very coarse and not even theological debate, but just kind of a debate on what's better, Catholicism or Judaism, then maybe Nick Fuentes won the debate, but it wasn't worth watching. It wasn't worth listening to. I don't particularly recommend it, but I'm talking about it. And then part of the reason I'm bringing this up is that so a lot of stuff is going on, and Dr. Duke and I, honestly, I don't remember exactly what we were talking about last night. You've got it fresh in your memory because I just played it. But I know he was excited about this discussion between Jeffrey Sachs, the Harvard professor, who's got Jewish ancestry, Jewish heritage, and Judge Napolitano. I'm not sure what his first name is. I think his first name is Judge, who has a show called Judging Freedom. I mean, he's... I don't know. He's riding that judge thing. He's really been riding that judge thing for 20 years. Judge Napolitano is kind of, if you know, you probably know who I'm talking about, and I don't know why I'm even bringing this up, but he's kind of strange looking, you know. He's got a hairline that's like borders on his eyebrows.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Understand the man.
Up, but he's kind of strange looking, you know. He's got a hairline that's like borders on his eyebrows, and looks, actually, honestly, he looks like kind of an elderly version of who was the kid on the Munsters? What was his first name? He kind of looks like the kid on the Munsters, but just old. I forgot, the guy's name wasn't Freddy, it wasn't Ricky. What was the guy's name? Munster. Herman Munster was the dad, and he was a Frankenstein, but the kid was a Dracula, was a vampire. and I don't exactly remember. But actually, you know who he looks like? He actually looks like the uncle. Or no, Grandpa. Grandpa Munster, whatever his name was. He looks even more like that. But and his name is Napolitano. He's Italian. But at any rate, I don't mean to rag on him and his appearance. That's very unprofessional of me. But the thing is, when I was listening to that debate, the four-way debate that I was describing, and I was really disappointed, but I kept thinking, you know, when you get down to it, really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. An internet debate on this issue really doesn't matter. The audience that they're reaching, which would be, I guess, like Zoomers and Millennials in America, they don't matter. America, the American government really doesn't matter. We're old news. We're old news. So you've got this stuff that's starting, or that's accelerating. You've got the United States and Britain bombing targets in Yemen, going after the Houthis, who are interfering with shipping in the Red Sea, and they're in a position to do so because Yemen controls the straits at the bottom of the Red Sea. And if you're going to pass through the Suez Canal, you're going to go. Well, why pass through the Suez Canal? There's not a whole lot right there. There are not a lot of important ports on the Red Sea itself. It's just a highway to the Pacific Ocean, to the Indian Ocean from the Mediterranean. That's what's linked. Although Israel does have an important port. It has one little port, what's it called, Sderot or something, at the very bottom of Israel. There's a tiny, tiny little coast with an inlet, a little gulf from the Red Sea. And the Yemenis, the Houthis, are trying to prevent shipping from going to that port. And they have a certain amount of information, intelligence about which boats are going where, and they are trying to block, and I guess to an extent successfully, shipping from going to that port at the bottom of Israel. So you've got this stuff going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, what's happening is you are getting BRICS-led effort. Well, two things are happening. Diplomatically, you've got the BRICS-led diplomatic initiatives that are isolating Israel and NATO and the G7. So Israel, NATO, the G7. This is one block. And then it's the rest of the world that's gravitating around BRICS. It really is the rest of the world. South Korea and Japan, Taiwan would, you know, they're kind of, maybe the Philippines are aligned with the U.S., NATO, G7. Well, Japan's a G7 member itself. But the rest of the world, it's aligned around Russia and China and BRICS. So the Russians and the Brazilians have been introducing these resolutions into the UN Security Council, which are progressively getting more and more support. South Africa, which is another BRICS country, is they have introduced taken a case to the International Criminal Court, the International Court of Justice, which is accusing Israel of genocide. Well, this is actually a big deal, and this is what Jeffrey Sachs was talking about, and he was talking about the case, and it's a very good case. There's like an 80-something page complaint, and he was going through some of what's in the complaint, and they're introducing statements made by Netanyahu and other leaders of the Israeli government, which are clearly calling for genocide. And, you know, when you're invoking Amalek, well, what does Amalek mean? Amalek is a story where the Jews were ordered by God to destroy, not just conquer the land of the Amaleks, but to kill every human there and all the cattle, just to kill everything. And this is what he's invoking. They introduced a video of the troops, the Israeli troops, singing songs of genocide, all sorts of things. You know, and of course, there's the actual damage that's being caused. So it's a very good case. You know, what's going to happen? There's 15 judges that are handling this case as a panel of 15 judges. One is supplied by Israel, one is supplied by South Africa, and then there are 13 permanent judges. I don't know where they're from. I don't know how they're selected. But, you know, this is a big deal. So diplomatically, would you say the noose is tightening? Because the United States, the supporters of Israel, are... and you know, you're getting defectors, the ministers in the Spanish government are accusing Israel of genocide. You're getting defectors even from that group. What else you're getting is militarily, you know, is Israel, if their stated objective was to rout out Hamas. Well, it's not happening in Gaza. They're retreating from Gaza because apparently they don't want to sustain losses. And the conflict with Hezbollah, which is much stronger than Hamas, much better armed, is intensifying. It's the thing about Hamas. Hamas has been under blockade, okay? So they have this... area that they basically control, at least internally, they control Gaza, which is, you know, about two-thirds, it's the size of Chicago, it's smaller than Chicago, with a more or less similar population to Chicago, the city itself, not the suburbs. But it's been under blockade, so they're not able to easily import weaponry or anything like that, or anything. Whereas Hezbollah controls Lebanon. Lebanon is like the size of, I guess it's bigger than Connecticut, but smaller than New Jersey, maybe. It's smaller geographically than Israel, but not that much. And it's not under blockade, and they're able to import and export goods and weapons freely, and they have good relations with Syria and with Iran. And Hezbollah has been fighting in Syria on the side of the Syrian government against ISIS. And so they've got a lot of relevant recent military experience. So they're way, way tougher of an opponent. And then, of course, the Houthis are doing their thing. So the military side is stepping up. Iran was just subjected to a massive terrorist bombing at a commemoration for the martyred General Soleimani. You know, it's said that ISIS was behind it, but ISIS is, to an extent at least, a creation of the United States and Israel. So this is all going in that direction. I'm going to pause here. I'll be right back. Okay, I am back, and you'll notice that today I'm using my Platters themes, and I do that sometimes because I like the Platters. Today I'm doing it because I know the Platters theme has the longest musical segments, which means it's less content I have to produce myself. It's Friday, I'm traveling, there are blizzards going on, so I just got to get this show in. It's not like yesterday, where yesterday I did feel like I kind of came up short with the content. Today I got about another 9 minutes, and I got some things that I want to say. Okay, so just to reemphasize what I just finished, it doesn't even matter. The United States isn't running the world anymore. And this is something that, people have to understand. This is a new international system, and it is revolving around the Russia-China alliance, which is taking the format of BRICS. And they are the international diplomacy around a lot of things, and especially this war in the Middle East, is revolving around this. And in the end, I bet they are going to impose a settlement. And the longer this goes on, the worse that settlement is going to be for Israel. I've said it a bunch. I'll leave it at that. Okay, regarding the tunnels. Okay, here's something. So I think amongst internet personalities in what some people call the dissident right, I don't even really think of myself as right or left, you know, whatever. I think I have been probably the biggest shill for Chabad Lubavitch. I know, like, Adam Green, for instance, he's been, you know, saying Chabad Lubavitch is, he was for a while. I don't know, I don't listen to him. And I'm not trying to badmouth him because he does some good work. But I think he's overemphasized their importance. You know, that Chabad Lubavitch kind of, like, runs Russia, runs America. And I've been a shill for Chabad Lubavitch, saying that I approve of their mission. Good luck with it. And by the way, very fashionable hats. That's what I've been saying. And I feel that what has happened in New York completely vindicates me. It completely vindicates me. Because look at this. So we've been talking about the war in Ukraine for all this time. And it's Victoria Nuland, it's Anthony Blinken, it was Wendy Sherman until she retired, it's Volodymyr Zelensky, it's a bunch of Jews. But who are people blaming it on? It's the neocons. They're saying it's the neocons. And like, you know, when I started off with Dr. Duke, he was asking me about Elena Kagan. Elena Kagan, when she was head of Harvard Law School, what did she do? She hired a bunch of Jews. And what did everybody call it? White supremacy. Okay? Now, the Chabad Lubavitchers dig these tunnels, and everybody knows this is Jews. They all know it's Jews. That's why I say I want, like, Chabad Lubavitch, what they try to do is get all the Jews to wear their Juniforms, to wear funny clothes, very distinctive clothes, to live insular, very distinctive lifestyles. And honestly, okay, so to the extent there's bloody mattresses and high chairs in the tunnels, what they've done in those tunnels, as however deranged it may be, they're doing this in their insular community, whereas you know, the Jews that run our foreign policy are doing this around the world. Okay, and you could say, well, in Israel, yeah, but in Israel, the you know, religious Jews are involved in what's going on. They're part of the cabinet. Yeah, and to the extent that they're part of it, they're making it a very, very Jewish thing, invoking Amalek, talking about the rebuilding the temple. So I do approve of Jews being visibly Jewish so that when they commit atrocities, it's not going to be blamed on whites. It's not going to be whites. It's not going to be, you know, neocons. It's not going to be the military-industrial complex. It's not going to be communists, right? Right? I mean, isn't that what these people are always saying, like Gavin McGinnis, all of this, what people call the woke stuff. They blame it on communists. It's nothing but communists. It's Jewish, okay? And if it was Chabad Lubavitch, if they were dressed like Chabad Lubavitch doing this, people would know it's Jews. But instead, they say it's communists, okay? So that's why I show for Chabad. And I will continue to. Last thing. What was the last thing? Okay, actually, this is kind of funny. I didn't realize this. The last thing is there's a website called thedailyrake.ca, which is Canada. And I don't know who does it. And but I'm going to talk about a series of articles. And they have an author list. And so I say, okay, well, I wonder who is writing these articles about. It's called The Night of the Long Steak Knives. And it's about the collapse of the National Justice Party. And so I want to see who the author is, and I look at the author list, and there's one person on it, and it says,
they asked me how I knew my true love was true.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
In the sweet and simple way, I fall in love again.
Collapse of the National Justice Party. And so I want to see who the author is, and I look at the author list, and there's one person on it, and it says, it's got a picture of George Floyd. It says, Thomas Manwise, racist. So anyway, which I thought was funny. But the night of the long steak knives, and part, what is it? At any rate, the guy... I guess it's Thomas Manwell. I guess he had been involved with them and with TRS. And I'm not here to involve in get involved in infighting or anything. I always you know, wish people who are working hard for good causes, I wish them success. And so I'm not going, you know, like, I don't talk a whole lot about TRS. I used to, because I used to listen to them, and then I thought they got less good and less interesting during the COVID stuff. And I also wasn't a fan of one of the guys who used to come on Fast the Nation, who was bad-mouthing China. Because if I'm anything, I'm a show for the chinks. So, but anyway, he was critiquing the National Justice Party's political strategy of doing in real life demonstrations as opposed to running for electoral office. And you know, I think it was an interesting read, and it was an interesting critique. Now, I think both strategies are valid. Now, running for office, it gets you out there. It helps get the message across, even if you don't win. And sometimes you do win. And he invoked the name of Dr. Duke, who did win office and almost won some even bigger offices. And he was saying that that's the right way to go about things. And I think that's good. And I remember when we had Warren Baylock on the Patrick and Jeremy show, I did ask him about that. As for the in real life stuff, the demonstrations, I think we absolutely have the right to demonstrate, and I think demonstrations can serve a variety of points. It's not as if you're asking, it's not all about asking the authorities to do what you want them to do. A demonstration is you are demonstrating your ideas, you're demonstrating your resolve, you're demonstrating your size, right? And a small demonstration, you know, demonstrates a small size. But the other thing that traditionally, and maybe in the age of the internet it's less important, but traditionally demonstrations also allowed for networking. Because I'm old enough that I was going to demonstrations before the internet, long before the internet. And you go to demonstrations, and you know, back in, say, the 60s and the 70s, in the 70s, even in the 70s, probably the early 80s, long-distance phone calls were expensive. And so if you went to a big demonstration in New York or Washington or somewhere, you were meeting all sorts of people. You were able to exchange information. It served really important purposes, which maybe are better served via the internet now. But I still think that meeting people in real life can be important. Anyway, this is about as much time as I have for today. So I want to thank you all for joining me. And I will be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.